Hello there, Podcast Land. This episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast is sponsored by Podcast Texts. Podcasters, do you want to expand your podcast reach to 360 million, maybe even more people? Do you want to make your podcast searchable on Google, Yahoo, even Ask Jeeves? Then look no further than Podcast Texts. You can increase your podcast reach exponentially. You can also reach the deaf and hearing impaired. They can read your podcast. It's unbelievable the amount of ways Podcast Text can help you. Maybe you have a few links you'd like to include. Not a problem. You can include them thanks to Podcast Texts. Seem too good to be true? Visit PodcastTexts.com to create a more dynamic user experience for your audience today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast, and here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tao.
Hello and welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast. My name is John O'Connor. Like always, I'm with Daniel Tao, and today marks episode number 80 of this thing we call the podcast. Today, we talk with Hollow Bones. They're a melodic hardcore band from White Plains, New York, and we were both freezing our asses off talking to each other. Let me explain. White Plains is about 45 minutes away from my place, but we were both in the low teens in terms of weather. It was that day where everything was about maybe 14 degrees in the tri-state area, and it completely sucked. But the interview did not. And speaking of low teens, they just opened up for Every Time I Die, Beartooth, and more at Sold Out Fest at The Chance in Poughkeepsie. We talk about that incredible show, their interesting album cover for Lionheart, working on a new concept album, and more. So anyways, like I say every episode, thank you for liking, thank you for following, thank you for being you and supporting the show in any way you can. It really means the world to us. I'm going to keep it short and simple. We have a huge platform of shows coming out in January, so be on the lookout for that. And I don't think I have anything else to say, but thank you. And here's episode number 80 with Hollow Bones right now. Brother, if you could, why did you let me? You're in just a moment ago. It's sometimes it feels like you're finally, there we go.
There it is.
Hello.
Hey, Sharon, what's happening?
Not much. What's going on?
Nothing. Freezing my balls off, and I know you guys can understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah, totally. We're freezing ours right off, too.
Oh, my God. How cold is it up there?
It's 19 degrees right now.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ almighty. Yeah, it's
where are you from?
I'm in Clifton, New Jersey, right by Dingbats. You guys are aware of that.
Oh, yeah. We're not far from us.
Yeah, you're suffering with us.
Yeah, and I think it's like 14 degrees out, and it's just ridiculous.
Miserable.
Worst.
Oh my God. No, the worst is I just talked with the band Felicity. They're from Orlando, and they're like, "Yeah, it's 80 degrees." And I'm like, "You motherfuckers."
Jerks.
Must be nice.
Yeah, it must be nice. They're like, "Yeah, we're in Orlando." I was like, "Oh yeah, Mickey Mouse is in your fucking backyard. You're lounging." My God almighty. Like, I'm in a somewhat warm house. You're in a fucking metal box freezing your asses off.
That is correct.
That's true.
Oh, God almighty. So
are we loud enough? Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So how was band practice?
It was good. It was productive.
Yeah, we started we have two new songs in the works, so we got about halfway through one of them today in a way where we think it's like in pretty good shape to continue building off of. So it was pretty productive.
Okay, so you got the idea down, and now you're just working on adding all the layers in, and you're like, okay, you see the finish line, is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome. There's no better feeling than that.
No. Yeah. That was, like, really relieving.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
Especially, like, we've been, like, working with our previous release for so long at this point that writing new material is it's like really like artistically cathartic.
Yeah, it's refreshing.
Wow. Yeah, it's a crazy process that a lot of people aren't really aware of. I mean, like when you first start out as a band and like you get like a good maybe 7 or 8 tracks together, you're like, okay, this is easy. You put out an EP or a record, whatever you want, and you're like, okay, this is done. And then comes that part two release. You're like, shit, now we have to start over. Now we have limited time. Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly it.
Ugh.
It's almost kind of scary because like you finish it and then you're like, was that it? Like, do I have any more ideas? Like, will I be able to come up with other like interesting new things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, cause you don't want to be like the same, you know, recycled metal bands.
Yeah.
So you kind of want to think outside the box but also stay within the genre. So it's like it's a really hard thing to do without almost like taking it to a different place than you were before, but you want to like stay true to your sound, but you want to try new things.
And yeah,
it's just like such a hard thing to decide like what direction to move in depending on like how you're feeling and how the rest of the band has been listening to different influences and all that kind of stuff. Like, I think it all plays into what ends up coming out.
Yep. And then once you put out that release, you're going to have so many people going, yeah, I like the first record better. You guys suck now.
Yeah. I'm so nervous about that. I was like, all of my good ideas are gone.
Oh God. But I mean, look, it's the evolution of things because you can't win when it comes to pleasing everyone. Either people are going to be like, okay, yeah, this band sucks now, whatever. But you're also going to get those people who are like, oh, this is great. And like, you don't really want to cater to those people because then you'll be out ostracizing some other people. You know, you just got to stay true to yourself, true to your sound, and put out something that you want to listen to, because that's what happens in the end, man. So
absolutely. That's really true.
Totally agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. So you guys are a weird mix, and I say it in a great way possible. Like, I hear some influences of like Parkway Drive in there, Little Ghost Inside. It's like hardcore, but you guys know how to play your instruments.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, we try to keep it a little more technical than standard melodic hardcore. But at the same time, we like to keep those melodic components really fresh and like enticing, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And it does show. I mean, I listened to, oh crap, what the fuck's the name of that song? I can't think of off the top of my head. Oh, Dry Tooth. And I saw the video of it too. Holy shit, that came out like really well, the video and, you know, the song, of course, but the video, wow.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Who'd you work with on that?
His name's Mike.
Mike DeFilio, I think.
Yeah, Mike DeFilio. I don't know where he's based out of now. He moved
to California.
Yeah, he was originally in Connecticut when we worked with him.
Okay.
He also did one of Currents' videos. I don't know if you're familiar with Currents from Connecticut.
Okay, I've heard the name, yeah.
Yeah, so he worked with them, and that's kind of how we found out about him. So I reached out to him, and you know, he gave us some pretty good, like, he took our vision and made it into what we wanted it to be. Since it was our first real video, I think we had a lot to learn about what we wanted as far as our image and things like that. And I think once we did Altruistic Lung, we had a better idea of what we were going for. So the video for that, I think, is more of a display of like who we truly are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think this next, because we have a next video coming out soon for I Watch the Snowfall and Bury Your Bones. That one's coming out sometime in the first half of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is much more artistically driven, like more post-production value, that kind of stuff, than like the previous two performance videos that we did. So we're excited to drop that one because it's really, we took a different direction with it, but we think it's very, very true to like who we are and what we want to portray as far as our message.
Okay. Are you guys going more in like a storyline type of mode with this video?
No, it's still a performance video, okay. But I don't want to give too much away about how we did it because you just got to see it to understand. So, yeah, there's a lot of really cool post-production stuff. Altruistic Lung and this new video were done by Lawton Meyer. Mm-hmm. He's our videographer that we've been working with recently. He does all the editing and posts as well. He's really talented, and everybody in the area should get to know his name.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Awesome. Yeah, and I'm also looking on your Facebook, and I see you had the Sudden Death video by The Machinists on there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good they're guys and girl.
But. Yeah,
good
man.
Friends of ours.
Yeah. Sharon grew up with Amanda, and
we've
played with them
kids.
Like pretty. Not I wouldn't say regularly, but we've played with them like a bunch of times, and like we're all buddies and stuff, and it's always a good time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who I had on the podcast. It was one of them. I want to say the guitarist. I can't think of
Josh.
Yeah, there we go. And he told me a story about how he accidentally got his mother high on marijuana. And it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's funny.
Sorry, Mom.
Yeah, basically, for the people who aren't aware, I think it was his birthday, and he just played with Suicide Silence and I want to say Whitechapel down in Game Changer World in New Jersey. And I think it was his girlfriend or one of his friends made him like space cake, and he took like a little bit and he just got extremely high off of that. So he ended up bringing it to, I think, his dresser at home, and his mom found it and ate the cake, and he just went, oh no. So his mom was high for the first time eating space cake, and...
God.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys are aware of like marijuana, but like if you eat it, it's like 90 times harder hitting than it
I am
is smoking.
Aware of marijuana.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Of course you have to like ease into that question. You can't be like, you guys are potheads.
Yeah. Of course not.
Yeah. But I mean, look, it's a drug. It clearly helps people. You know, shouldn't be in the same class as cocaine or heroin or any of the other ones. I mean, there's a lot of great things that marijuana does. Obviously, yes, you know, the main thing is it gets you high. It might impair your vision a little bit. But honestly, if, you know, when I smoked back in college, I haven't felt more clearer. Like I drove while high, not the greatest of ideas, but you know, it made you more aware of your surroundings, more aware of the road and stuff like that. So, I mean, it really should be legalized everywhere.
It should.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah. It affects everybody like differently enough that like, look, they put the pharmaceutical companies put drugs on the market that like put people into fugue states where they murder their families.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, it's true. That is actually very true.
Yeah, 100%.
But you like literally have never once heard in your life a true story about somebody smoking a bone and then murdering their wife with a fucking pool cue. Like, no. You hear stories about people smoking a bowl and passing out with their hand in a bag of chips.
Exactly.
And there's no reason for it to be illegal. It's the stupidest thing.
Yeah, really. And I mean, look, it's a cash crop. Look over in Colorado. Like the number of drunk drivers that went down. The fucking taxes are like extremely low now because they found this new source of revenue, and it's working out.
Dude, yeah, I mean they're
giving away money.
They are. They're donating money to their education system, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the country should be taking a page from that book because I mean. Colorado's got the right idea. Washington followed suit.
Massachusetts now, too.
Massachusetts. Yep. Yeah, actually, a bunch of states kind of just did it recently, right?
Yeah, with the election. Yeah. They kind of revamped some of their state laws.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see, like, I'm not too sure on his policies. I don't know how Trump stands with it. I think he is for marijuana because, look, he's a businessman in the end. He's going to do stuff that's going to make people happy and, like, he wants to be liked. Obviously, that's not going well for him right now. But you know, he's the type of guy that is populist. He wants all the popular things to happen with the country. And honestly, I think he could do a good job, but he's surrounding himself with a lot of people that, you know, have other motives in mind.
Yeah.
And I think that's where that might fuck things up a little bit, but.
I did hear though today that he appointed Elon Musk as part of his cabinet, which that is, I mean, I don't like the dude. I don't like Donald Trump. I'm not really into that whole thing, but Elon Musk is a really, really smart dude, and he's a really like forward thinker. So that's probably the most positive thing that I've heard in the past 6 months regarding that.
Yeah.
I have not.
Do you know what he got appointed from or appointed for?
No, not off the top of my head, but while we're talking, I'm going to look.
There we go. Yeah.
But yeah, I'll bring that. I'll come back to that, I guess.
Yeah, sounds good. But I mean, it's going to be an interesting 4 years, and you know, I pray to God, like I don't wish harm on anyone, and no, I don't wish harm on Trump either. But you know, I hope to God there's not some lunatic out there that's ready to take him out. And that's, I think, my scariest thing, because if he goes out, then you have a guy by the name of Mike Pence, who I'm sure you guys are aware of, like what he did in Indiana, and he's all for fetuses. I'll stay with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I am completely like not on the bandwagon for our current president and his cabinet. I am not at all there for that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's like a rabbit hole.
It's a sore topic for me personally.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, for the rest of the country, I hope for nothing but the best. But, you know, we just have to wait and see. But what the fuck does that have to do with Hollow Bones? Nothing. I mean, Donald Trump's not going to support your tours. Not going to support your new album coming out.
Yeah, punk bitch.
Then again, though, everyone has a price. And, like, a lot of people say, yeah, we're not going to sell out and stuff like that. But if someone shows you some real green to do this full time, you know, knowing myself, I would take it in a heartbeat. I mean, everyone has a price. That's what I think.
Everyone does have their price.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah. I don't know if I would ever work for somebody like that, though.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Who knows. But, you know what's interesting? Like, I'm looking at the album art for Lionheart right now. And you have a dude on the cover smoking a cigarette, which looks like a the hell's going on? It looks like it's in, like, the middle of winter. He's freezing his ass off. What was the inspiration for this?
That is actually exactly what is happening there.
Okay.
We have a good friend by the name of Andrea Olette. She lives up in Rochester, and she has this gigantic old camera from like the early 1900s that she just took out into the streets of like a really bad part of Rochester, and just went around photographing people for us until she found, you know, a few that we selected from. And that image, you know, we kind of just found to be very striking, and it kind of just got a glimpse of some random guy that we felt was kind of like, I don't know. It looked
somber. Like it was pretty sad, and I don't know, just dark in a way. I don't know. It was like, it was sobering is a good word for
sobering,
it.
Yeah.
Sobering is a word for it, because that was, you know, we had the whole concept, like black and white has been a concept that we've been using, quite often within our imagery, not just within our videos, but within our photography. And I think, when we were going for the album art, we wanted something dreary and almost like sobering and sad in quality, like to represent what we were going for as far as the record was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just like really showed us what we were looking for, that picture more than any of the other ones.
Yeah, because, I mean, you could basically make up your own mind when it comes to this album art. You know, you don't know what he's looking at. You know, you don't know if he's homeless, if he has a job or anything, if he has a wife, a family. You don't know, and that's the cool thing about it. It also kind of pisses me off that it was, like, a random guy, because I would love to know, like, the backstory with all of this.
Yeah, I mean, hearing Andrea talk about it was really cool, because she literally she was just walking up to, like, random people in, like I said, like, a really bad part of Rochester. And she's, like, she's, like, you know, a little woman, and she's, like, she's tough as nails, man. She met the guy, like, outside of a gas station or something like that. And she, like, saw him, and he kind of, like, gave her, like, a mean look. And then she, like, walked away and, like, found somebody else and took a couple of pictures of them, and then she came back and he asked her about the camera. She never asked his name. She didn't get any personal details about the guy. He just asked a couple of questions about the camera, and then she was like, "Do you mind if I take your couple of pictures of you?" And he said, "No, it's fine." And she snapped a couple, and that was it. And then they parted ways, and there's no information exchanged. I think she gave him like $20 or something like that. It was really cool.
Wow, what a fucking story. Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, we just wanted to capture, like, humanity.
Yeah, like a human.
That's really what it was.
Yeah.
We almost wanted it to be anonymous. Mm-hmm. We wanted to leave that interpretation up to the person who was looking at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also glad that, you know, you didn't have to blur his face either, because it just shows, like, the true emotion of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing's worse than, like, when you take a picture and they're like, "Yeah, I never gave you rights," and you're like, "Fuck. All right, yeah. We gotta blur out the face, all right," and then it just takes away at everything, but wow, it actually worked out in your favor.
It definitely did.
Yeah, holy crap. That is deep, I'm not gonna lie to you. So now, where do you go from here in terms of album art? Do you, are you just going to write the next record, get, like, a certain feeling for it, and then just be like, "Okay, let's go with something in this direction," or do you have something, like, maybe in your minds already?
Well, this next release, we're going to do, like a concept album.
Okay.
And I don't want to speak too much on that yet, because it's still developing. And mm-hmm. I think that as we develop the songs and the concept, I think that the album art will then kind of take shape following suit. I think that the album art should be indicative of, like, what the content on the album is.
Absolutely.
So for, like Sharon said, you know, we wanted to get, like, a snapshot of, like, a human being. Like, we wanted it to kind of, like, be raw. And a lot of the songs on Lionheart dealt with, like, humanity and
it was almost like frustrations about humanity and, like, how people don't help each other out.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it also has to do with, like, the emotions you go through as a person in general. It could be anything, you know, from love to hate to depression to anything else, you know, anxiety, mm-hmm. whatever anxieties you have. You know, everybody goes through different emotions and they go through them differently. And that's, like, kind of the beauty of life. So we kind of wanted to capture, like, the raw aspect of everything that a human possesses. You know?
Yeah. Right. Wow.
That was actually way, way more articulate than, like, I have thought about it in the past. I'm like, "Yeah, we just wanted a picture of a person."
Randy Marsh voice.
What Sharon said is very true, and, like, I want that, not just me, I think, like, it's important for all of us that, like, that same translation happens again this time around. Mm-hmm. So I think once we have, like, a few more songs done for this next release, we'll probably start really having an idea of, like, what it's going to look like in terms of album art and, you know, things like that.
Yeah. So now, like you mentioned, it was a concept album, and without giving too much away, like, how's the process of that going? Is that, like, did you have to create the story beforehand and you're like, okay, what's going to fit within like the lyrics and within the music and the style of that? Did you find it like easier or a little harder than, you know, previous releases?
Well,
I think so. I'll take this to start. So I think that we actually only really discussed the concept in full tonight for the first time.
Oh, okay.
With the rest of the band, at least. But Pat and I have been throwing it around for quite a while because it means a lot to us personally. Mm-hmm. So I think just because we've experienced what we expect to speak about, we kind of wanted to put that emotion and concept forth so that we could focus on it in order for the music to develop around the feelings that the concept provides.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of our direction, is we're taking that concept and using it as fuel behind the emotions that will come out in the music and the lyric writing and, you know, the actual vocal like work themselves, you mm-hmm. know? So I don't think we're quite at the point where I could tell you that we've worked out exactly how we're going to display that content, but we know what we're going for. We have a general idea. We have half a song written that's already geared toward that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to come to fruition now that we're all on the same page and we hashed out some of the finer details tonight.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Okay. Awesome. Like I'm really excited to see where that goes, because like a concept record is very hit or miss. I mean, you could have something like Armor for Sleep, What to Do When You Were Dead, about, you know, the suicidal guy basically taking his life and going through, like, I think the five stages of grieving or something like that, or seven stages of grieving?
Seven stages of grief, yeah.
So he basically went through that whole thing, and they did it basically beautifully within the 12 songs that are on the record. And then, like, you have other albums where you're like, okay, this keeps bouncing in and out. You can't even really pay attention to that, like, too much. But, you know, as long as you're in between, you know, Good and Coheed and Cambria, I think you're all set.
Oh, God, that's the worst thing you could say to me.
No, you saying, like, Good and, like,
Coheed and Coheed and Cambria is better. Yeah, Coheed's better.
Oh, yeah, Coheed is the master of...
They're my concept. Master band. They, like, rule my life. You realize that?
But, yeah, that's kind of, that's very much, like, what our aim is to – and I agree with you. Concept albums can be very hit or miss.
Yeah.
For me, my personal favorite is The Contortionist does an album called Exoplanet that's about – it's like super sci-fi and like dorky stuff, but it's fucking awesome because it's about humans being contacted by extraterrestrial life and like being given plans for building a deep space travel vessel. It's so shit. Dorky, but it's fucking awesome, and they do it so well. And
wow.
Actually, to be honest, the idea for like the idea that really pushed this whole concept thing like forward, because mm-hmm. like me and Sharon had discussed it like a while back, like she said, and then it kind of like fell by the wayside a little bit, and then just recently the pop artist Tove Lo released a quasi concept album, and when I love Tove Lo and when I listened to
so
it, I was like, oh my God, we have to do a concept album now. Like this totally kind of drove the idea home, and so thanks Tove Lo. If you're,
we love you Tove Lo.
Yeah,
wow, that is the last person I would ever think to influence you into doing like a concept album.
Yeah, no, we really like Tove Lo. I mean, she's very talented. She's mm-hmm. a good singer.
Did you ever think about doing like a cover of one of her songs?
Oh, I would totally do a cover
so
of that.
Cool.
Oh, my God.
Dude,
yeah.
Talk about it.
Would
be such a dope
so
cover.
Sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She had, what, like two somewhat popular songs? She's like
Talking Body and Stay High. Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Wow. Both of them were fucking solid. I don't know what the hell happened.
Yeah, she's great, though. Like, you should listen to her new record because it's really worth it.
Yeah.
I've been jamming that nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
What did it just recently come out?
Yeah.
Not too long ago. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. All right.
I think within the last 3 months.
Okay. Yeah. It sucks doing a podcast because there's so much music out there, but you have to focus in on, like, you know, the person like you're talking with. So, yeah. Like, you know, the last couple of podcasts has been nothing but, you know, just random hard rock or like metal or something like that. And, you know, I love hip hop. I love some parts of pop. And I feel like I missed so much within the last like 3 months.
Yeah, there's been a lot of really good records that have come out. I mean, another band that we really like is Paris as mm-hmm. well.
I fucking love Paris.
Yeah, Paris yeah. is amazing. Lingon's awesome. She's a really good person. You know, I've spoken to her a bunch, and she's a really great person. They have a lot of great ideas, and I think they're doing great things. And you know, they're on that electro pop spectrum as well. Yeah. We also listen to artists like Banks and Broods. Mm-hmm. We listen to all these electro pop artists. Actually, Pat and I myself.
Yeah.
We actually take a lot of influence from that kind of stuff because it's very like ambient in a lot of ways, and it has really good melodic concepts, and like the singers are usually very talented.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Like, I try to listen to everything that I can because I feel like if we just stay within like our genre that we're going to get stale, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100% agreed. I mean, a lot of great artists listen to like some of the most diverse things. I mean, it's hard for a band like yourselves to typecast just with like the metal, you know, that's all I listen to is metal. It's metal, 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 pop. Yeah. Fuck pop. Fuck Justin Bieber. Fuck this. Fuck that. You know, and it really does hurt the music because, you know, everything in metal has been basically done more or less. That's why people are going to like outside genres. Like, look, for example, at Issues. They're a band that takes like the lightest of pop and mixes it in with like basically nu metal, and they make it work. So
yeah, they do.
That's very true. I mean, I've always been a huge fan of like Johnny Craig, and I also really like The Weeknd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm really into like those bluesy R&B style singers.
Dude, even like Ligia back in the day, yeah. Bad News, that album was really bluesy.
It was.
Like, yeah. The vocals were really like...
It swings a little bit.
Yeah.
It's nice. Yeah, I don't know. I listen to a ton of stuff though. Like Dallas Green, like City in Color is actually one of my biggest influences. I listen to, like, you know, I'll listen to Hendrix, I'll listen to Zeppelin, like, I'll listen to everything. I don't really care what it is. If it sounds good, I'm going to listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned Zeppelin, and every time someone mentions it, I have to say they are the world's greatest cover band. you've seen the videos, right?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, my God.
They're so funny, like how they dub everything over all the time.
Holy shit! Yeah, it's like, you know, even the latest lawsuit with the whole Stairway to Heaven thing with that band from Australia. That was their opening act, like 2 years before Stairway was created. Yet, you know, Led Zeppelin was ruled in their favor. It's like, wait a second. You listen to both intros and you're like, this is the exact same fucking thing. But
oh my god.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what the acts back then did. Like, the Rolling Stones took a lot of influences from, like, the blues and stuff like that. Same thing with Zeppelin. You know, Black Sabbath even took a few, like, riffs, I don't think from blues, but it was, like, some, like, British musicians that, like, no one's really ever heard of. But, you know, like, no one was really that original. Like, they only put their own spin to it. And, like, we were looking at them like, oh, yeah, these are, like, the originators of rock and roll. You know, they've never copied anything. They came up with everything. And you're like, no, that's not it at all.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of UK bands, like, they have been flourishing recently. Yeah. There's so many amazing bands coming out of the UK. And yes. I just, like, give mad props to them because there's so much good music coming out of there right now.
Yeah.
I'm just really impressed. Especially like not just with like the bands that we all know, like Architects and stuff, but there's a lot of really good on like not as well known bands that are coming out of there right now, and it's awesome to hear so many great things like all over the world in the same genres.
Yeah,
know?
And how like each country kind of has like a little bit different spin on yeah. like the same, you know, like you can tell, like for me anyway, like I listen to a UK hardcore band and I'm like, they're probably from the UK.
And they are, like, usually.
Yeah,
you
or
can tell.
Australia has Australia that very, too, like,
it's, like, very Parkway Drive.
Parkway Drive, yeah.
Or like, you know, North Lane, that kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of those bands that do like the ambient leads over the super heavy genty breakdowns.
Yeah.
They got those super fast blast beat metalcore riffs and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And then the UK, you have a lot of bands like Architects, and then you've also got a lot of melodic hardcore bands that come out of there.
Napoleon.
Napoleon, like really techie, like amazing bands. It's great to hear.
Wow. I really have to do my homework. I've never heard of Napoleon before. Holy shit.
Oh, man. Dude, should get on that.
Yeah, they are going to break your noodle, man. They're awesome. Wow. Their newest album, it's called A Newborn Mind. Their newest album from start to finish is like completely relentless, but in this like beautiful, chaotic way. Dude, that album is something special for sure.
They take all the best components of metal and put them into one place. Yeah. Like, because you've got, you know, the really good cleans, the really good screams, mm-hmm. and then you've also, but they're tasteful though. They're not like that cookie cutter kind
of
crap.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's very, of course.
And they also have like really heavy genty parts with like interesting time signatures, and they also have just amazing lead guitar work. Like it's all this crazy tapping and sweeping and like insanity.
Yeah,
it's just amazing. And they do like all of these crazy melodic stuff, like Good Tiger. They kind of remind me of like Good Tiger.
Okay, yeah.
In a lot of. So yeah, there's a lot of great bands out there right now. I just feel like a lot of them need to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's also crazy because you look at a band, like, for example, the best example I can think of is Enter Shikari, where over in the UK, they are basically gods. Like, they headline, like, a stage at Download Fest. You know, they play, like, massive arenas, and then they come over here in their latest tour. They're playing at Irving Plaza, and you're like, what the fuck is going on with this?
Yeah. I totally understand that.
Even Architects, like, yeah. I don't think they're playing at, like, huge venues here, are they, when they come over here?
I think they're playing Gramercy coming up.
Yeah, they're playing Gramercy.
That's where April 1st is?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, man. Once you get tickets for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is the first without their guitar player, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fucking bummer.
They've played a few shows over there, but this is their first time going to be here without their guitarist.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was fucking sad.
That's like one of the saddest things I've heard in a long time. Yeah. That, besides the Ghost Inside accident.
Yeah,
that was also completely fucked up. But I'm glad they're ready for Warped.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I like honestly, I'll tell you right now, I sent them as much money as I could afford to send them. Mm. Like, I don't know. That's a band that has influenced us very much, and yeah. I think it was just really hard to see them and the other families affected,
yeah,
you know, by that incident. Like it was tragic, you know. That's something you never wish upon anybody.
Yeah.
So I feel for the family that, you know, lost their truck driver.
Yeah.
Essentially, you know, that wasn't involved in the band, as well as the driver of their bus. You know, it's just really unfortunate.
Yeah, definitely. But wow, I mean, it also goes to show you, like, I had no idea that the Ghost Inside and Bring Me the Horizon were friends until, like, Bring Me the Horizon, like, dropped, like, what was it, $5,000 or $10,000 for them. I'm like, holy shit. Good for them.
I think there was another band that did that for them, too.
There's a lot of bands, like, came together and, like, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
But, I mean, shit like that happens on the road all the time. Like, take a band like Bayside, who actually lost a member of their band, you know, in a driving accident. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're the drummer John Beats O'Halloran, I think his last name was, but and ended up losing him right after their self-titled came out. So they were basically one of the hottest bands in the country, and just like right up, like they were right at that cusp of just, you know, being on like a Taking Back Sunday type of level, and then, you know, they ended up doing the entire tour just acoustic. And it just, you know, obviously it's not the same, but, and it did come out with like a great album, the acoustic album that they put out, but, you know, they just really haven't gotten back to that level just yet. Like, they're close. They're like right on the cusp again, but, you know, just when tragedy strikes, it fucking strikes.
Yeah, it does.
It's very true.
Yeah. But let's go into a little lighter topic, shall we? You guys actually played, what was it? The show with Beartooth at
Sold Out.
Sold Out Fest.
Yeah. Holy shit! You played that lineup. Oh my god! What was that like?
Holy shit! Indeed.
Yeah,
dude.
That was insane.
That was like probably one of the coolest shows. That was for me. That was definitely the coolest show I've ever played.
I agree. Yeah, a close second was Eat Your Heart Out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a close second, but that was under our old name.
Yeah.
Prior to Hollow Bones, so I don't even consider that part of this band's run at this point.
Nope, doesn't count.
No, it doesn't count. So this was definitely the coolest show that I think we played as a band. And it was, you know, just hearing ourselves like on the main stage is such a difference than playing all of the, you know, the bars and like all the places, the small venues that we play that don't have good sound systems and things like that. And just realizing that you sound a lot bigger than you realize is pretty amazing.
You feel like pretty powerful on that stage, man. Like it's loud, it's clear, you know, like, you can see
well, we heard ourselves. Yeah. It's like amazing.
You can see the crowd like clearly, and there was like a big crowd when we played,
and
which
the
was
energy
awesome.
It was just so wild. Kids were going nuts the whole time. It was great.
It was so much fun.
Wow. And that was up at the Chance, right? In Poughkeepsie?
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. Now that's one theater that, like, from the outside, you're like, okay, this doesn't seem that big. And then you walk in, you're like, holy shit, this thing is fucking monstrous.
Yeah, it's pretty deceptive.
It's a classic building for sure.
Yeah,
I've been there a few times with my co-host Dan. He's in a band called Dead Tide, and I think he opened up for, I want to say it was Fear Factory and Soil Work up there. And just like the crowd alone was just amped up, ready to go for a fucking metal show, and that was great to see. And there was one thing, like, you know, I'm a former lead singer of a band, and I saw the one balcony area, and I was like, you know what? If I was performing on stage, I would definitely be hanging upside down off of that balcony area.
Yeah, that balcony has been used for some crazy things. I've seen people stage dive off of it into the pit. Yeah. I've seen singers and guitarists go up there and play from the top, like with their wireless rigs. I think it's a really cool venue. Like if you get a good crowd, it's a really great place to be. And I'm really glad that Jeff Menig is back doing all the promotion and, you know, running the Power Kingdom up there. I don't know if that's what it's still called right now.
I think he's working with a different company.
It might be a different company now, but it used to be the Power Kingdom, but Jeff Menig is back and he's in power again. So, it's been great because he's doing a lot of promotion and bringing more national and international acts back to the area.
Yeah.
So, a scene that was dying is now not dying anymore. So tell your friends.
Yeah, flourishing,
there's
actually.
Some great shows up there right now. And Jeff is doing a ton of work with his awesome crew of people. Alex from Tribute is up there. So Alex Lord, there's a bunch of good people doing good work up there. And I think it deserves some praise because they really rejuvenated the vibes that used to be around here back in like the early 2000s, mid 2000s. Mm-hmm. That was when we kind of were like flourishing in this area for shows.
Oh yeah. That was one hell of a great time. Like even down in the New Jersey scene, like the mid 2000s was fucking brilliant. Like you saw bands like My Chemical Romance, Senses Fail, Armor for Sleep, Midtown, Lifetime, Gaslight Anthem played up here. Like North New Jersey scene was the place to fucking be. And I'm sure it was the same up in New York, too.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It definitely was. I mean, I remember there was a show that I played with one of my really old bands back in the day when I was like 17 years old. So that's like 10 years ago now at this point. But 10 years ago, I was opening a tiny, tiny room, like a 100-cap room max for a Muir.
Crannel,
Club Crannel. For a Muir, Endwell, and a bunch of other bands. And Dude, I sold 200 tickets myself. You can't do that anymore.
No.
You know what I mean? It's impossible. So, like, it was such an amazing time, and, like, they stuffed as many people as they could in those rooms, and they didn't care about the fire hazards, and they just had no security, and everybody was just going buck wild and having a good time, and it wasn't all about, like, the image. It was just about the fun. So,
Holy shit, 10 years ago, that was Homeland Insecurity times for Endwell, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
That fucking album ripped.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good time.
Oh,
For sure.
God damn. And then Amir coming out with Goodbye to the Gallows, right? That was around that time.
Yep, that was
yeah.
right when that was out,
Jesus.
Which was by far their best album still to this date.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
We praise that album for sure. You know, we've shared the stage with them a ton, like between all of the members of our bands.
Mm-hmm.
We've played with them over 10 times each, I think.
Yeah.
In different acts and stuff, too.
Yeah. How well do you know Amir by any chance?
I know Frankie just from meeting him at the shows that we've played together. He probably wouldn't even remember me at this point, so
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know them very well. But I do know them, and I have spoken to them plenty of times, as Pat has as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of our friends is actually good friends with Frankie, so we
oh,
kind of
yeah,
have
Michelle,
yeah
right.
we kind of have like a weird connection to
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no, we don't like hang out with them or anything like that. But we do like them.
Yeah. No. I was going to ask, are they officially a Connecticut band? Because I know that they've been saying they're a Queens, New York band, but I know the rumors that they're from Greenwich.
I think they were scattered.
Okay.
So I think there's a couple members that were from Queens and some were from Connecticut. But obviously, they just changed their entire lineup, so it's moot at this point anyway.
Yeah.
So I mean, it doesn't really matter. It really depended on where their local scene was when they first started. That's
yeah.
that's what makes you from a certain place. Because people think that we're from upstate New York because we play in Poughkeepsie so much.
Uh-huh.
But we're not. We're from downstate. We're from right above the Bronx.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually closer to the New York City scene than we are to upstate. But we just happened to find more shows and opportunities up there, so that's where we frequented.
Mm-hmm.
So people consider us to be from there.
Yeah.
So it really just depends where you establish yourself locally.
That's true. But, I mean, then again, everyone, if, like you mentioned, you're a New York band. If you're not from the city, you're automatically from upstate. It doesn't matter if you're from fucking Westchester. So
that's true.
Yeah.
That actually is.
They fucking typecast you, like, just like that. It's hysterical.
Yeah, they're tight as fuck about that stuff, and I think it's hilarious because I'm New York native and, like, I've lived here my entire life,
mm-hmm.
and I'm, like, the same as all of them. They would have no idea where I was from if I didn't tell them, so.
Yeah.
Oh, God almighty. But, yeah, just so, oh, my God. And it's funny how you mentioned how you sold, like, 200 tickets to that show, and, you know, nowadays, you'd be a promoter's wet dream if you could sell 200 tickets to a random show.
Oh,
dude,
God,
it's
I wish,
true,
man.
Yeah.
You know, we could sell, we've sold upwards of 50 at least for certain shows.
Yeah.
But it's always a struggle, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But I think that's what Jeff, that's what kind of what we were talking about, what Sharon was saying before, is that, like, Jeff is really trying to revitalize that here so that kids are interested in shows the same way that they were in 2005 so that, you know, we can potentially sell 200 tickets to a show, you know, like it may seem kind of ridiculous and like, maybe it is like a little bit of a far way off, but you know, if you get kids interested and you bring in good acts, it's not impossible.
Gotcha. Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, I mean, it's not likely, and bands listening, you're not going to do this tomorrow, but, you know, it can happen, just with the right, you know, with the right promoter, as you said, with the right band, the right passion, and, you know what, everyone in the band has to do their part. You know, I can't stress this enough to everyone, like, listening, but, you know, I've been in bands over the years where, you know, one or two people did everything for the band and the other two just skated by, and those bands go fucking nowhere. So if all of you aren't into doing the work, either drop the members that aren't doing it or just give up because you're not going to get anywhere doing that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that's totally true. It's, you know, splitting up the responsibilities because, you know, like a lot of people get into it because they just want to have fun and, Or maybe they really do want it to be like their life, but they don't realize the amount of work that comes with it.
Yeah.
Because it is a lot of work. You're essentially running a business. That's really what it boils down to, is you're running a business, you know, in principle and in practice, you're running a business. And, you know, that comes with all of what, you know, saying that entails. Like, you have to worry about your public relations with people, and you have to worry about, you know, your expenditures and et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of people don't realize that. And when they see that side of it, they kind of just like shut off and they're just like, eh, I'm not going to deal with it.
Yeah.
And that can very, very quickly cause a band to kind of collapse in on itself.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny, I'm actually on your Facebook page right now, and one of my friends actually likes your page, Stephen Weiss. So does that mean, have you guys ever been down to Atlantic City for a show?
Not to play down there, no.
No? Oh, wow, that's odd. Atlantic
City, New Jersey?
Atlantic City, New Jersey,
yeah.
We didn't play down there.
We only played New Jersey once.
Yeah, and it was North Jersey.
Yeah. No, I mean, we do advertise like a lot on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a good chance that I think that's it. You said that that's how you found us. So we probably blasted his news feed like a million times, and
I mean,
he was like, all right.
It could just be a mutual friends thing as well. Like,
also
there's plenty of people that like, we know a bunch of good people in Jersey that have some good reach.
Yeah.
As far as like, you know, internet, music marketing and things like that are concerned. You know, we were working with a PR company at one point that got us a lot of good reach in the tri-state area in general. So a lot of people found out about us because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that he liked us just by sheer coincidence, because we've been a ton of pushes for, you know, just trying to get some reach and to find new people to check us out. And it's been making a difference. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Highly encouraged bands to use the tools that are available to them. It doesn't matter how much money it costs you.
Yes. Yeah. That's
it does not
really
matter how much money it costs you, because eventually you'll make money because of what you're putting into it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You got to put something in to get something out. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. But yeah, the reason I mentioned Steven is like he runs the Boneyard down in Atlantic City, also another venue called Le Grand Fromage. And he's like one of those people that are like, he's a great dude, and he's like one of the best promoters I've ever worked with. He does only like the people that give him the time of day. So that's why when I saw that, I was like, oh shit, maybe you guys played Atlantic City, but maybe he's actually, you know, reaching out and actually doing something and liking more than just the bands that, you know, have worked with him in the past. So could be a good thing.
It's good to know. I mean, we could always reach out to him and see if he has anything available, or if we can make a working relationship. I mean, that's something we're always willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he reached out to us personally at any point yet. So.
Okay. I'll change that.
All right.
Well, thanks.
Fucking A.
Yeah. And he's also good. He's also actually good. He's great with paying bands too. So no matter how many people you bring out, he will give you a cut. So he's all about the bands. And, you know, obviously he's about making money here and there, but he will never dick over a band, no matter like how good or bad you are. So that's a great
that's
thing.
Awesome.
That's a great thing that a lot of promoters don't do nowadays.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's props to you, Steven.
Yeah, for real.
Hell yeah. Book these motherfuckers, Steven. Let's go. And even if he doesn't have a show for you, he will build a show around you. That's how good he is. So
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Hell yeah. All right, guys, I think this is a good place to end things. We could have a part two a little later on when the concept album comes to fruition. Anything you like to plug real quick? I know you guys are on Facebook under Hollow Bones NY, under Twitter and Instagram on the same thing too, or?
Instagram, I think so.
Yeah.
We're pretty active on Instagram, and Twitter is like, we're relatively active on Twitter, but yeah, Instagram, we're on there all the time, and it's Hollow Bones NY. And Facebook, we're on all the time too.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to just plug our friends from Long Island.
Do it.
We're friends with this band called I Dreamt the Sea. And they're actually gearing up to release some fucking heat too. And they are such a fucking good band. Like, if you heard them, you'd be like, oh yeah, this band is like on tour and has like a huge following. Like, there's no way that you would possibly surmise from hearing them that they're just like a local Long Island band. They're so good. So definitely check out I Dreamt the Sea. and even like hit them up to do this podcast. I know they would love to chat with you, man.
Yeah, definitely.
They hustle so hard.
Mm-hmm.
They are some of the hardest working musicians I've ever personally met.
Yeah.
And they're just great people.
Yep.
They're wonderful to be around, great personalities. Mm-hmm. We're very good friends with them, and they write some amazing melodic hardcore.
Yeah.
Like if you're into bands like My Iron Lung, you know, even Hundredth to certain aspects, mm-hmm. Things like that, you will definitely like I Dreamt the Sea, and they're totally worth listening to. Their album that they released, it dropped at a time where the hype around it wasn't built up enough, unfortunately.
Oh, that's the worst, yeah.
It's the worst, but it is a fantastic album. Like, I definitely suggest picking it up. It's on Bandcamp. They really, you know, could just use any support that you give them, so. Yeah.
Hell yeah. And I actually found them on Facebook. It's facebook.com/IDreamtToSee. Easy enough.
Yep. All
right. I will definitely play that. I'll definitely give them a like right now while I'm there. Boom. It's good to go. All right. And before I let you go, we usually play out a song to end the interview. Anything you have in mind?
Wolf Crone. I got way too excited about that. Yeah.
You really did.
Wait, you meant specifically like from our album, right?
One of your songs.
Okay, yeah, definitely Wolf Crone. That's like my favorite song on the album, and like anytime we ever talk about songs that like, what songs you guys like, or like, it's always about like Dry Tooth and Altruistic, and now it's gonna be I Watched the Snowfall, and those songs are all awesome. They're all great songs. Wolf Crone is such a cool song, and we never talk about it.
Yeah, it is a really good song. It's definitely one of my favorites on there. It's very different than everything else.
Yes.
And it really showcases the clean vocals, so I think a lot of people will get hooked on it if they give it the time of day. So
nice. And that's off of Lionheart, right?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
There we go. Perfect. All right, here it is. Thank you guys so much for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Thank you so much for having us.
Of course. All right. Have a good night.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Stay warm.